Recently, Slate columnist Daniel Engber set out to debunk the idea of the five-second rule. A subject of Talmudic debate among clumsy kindergartners, the five-second rule holds that if you drop food on the floor and pick it up quickly, it's still clean enough to eat. That's not true, but on the path to debunking the five-second rule, he stumbled onto a bigger story, a veritable wellspring of scientific misinformation. As for the five-second rule, he says solving that one was a snap.
It took me fewer than 5 seconds to realize that this was not even a real science story. I mean, this was something that was being presented on the Huffington Post and Gizmodo and a few other blogs in the U.S., and they all referred back to a Daily Mail story, which said that this was a study that had been done at Manchester Metropolitan University. And when I tried to get in touch with Manchester Metropolitan, they told me that this was just done by a lab tech there, and no professors had been involved, and the lab tech didn't want to talk to me. So I sort of struck out pretty quickly.
So, okay, so within 5 seconds, you had debunked the five-second rule. But in pursuing this, you noticed a kind of a trend, let's say.
Yeah, so, I mean, this wasn't just a bad science story, of which there are plenty in newspapers all around the world. This one fit into a pattern of stories that I've seen coming out of Britain.
What other examples did you come up with?
So the five-second rule study made me think of something I covered as an intern at the Chronicle of Higher Education in the early 2000s, which was a study done by a high school student of the five-second rule. And then once I got to the Daily Mail and saw this original story, it reminded me of something else I had covered as an intern, which was a story from the British press about a formula for the perfect horror movie. And I just made one or two phone calls and discovered it was just a bunch of undergraduates who'd gotten drunk one night and come up with some meaningless numbers.
Okay, but you got to hand it to British journalists who are perhaps less rigorous than their American counterparts in passing along scientific results or junk science results. And that is, they're upfront about the junkiness of it, no?
Oh, yeah. These articles are completely upfront. I mean, both studies, the horror movie formula, the five-second rule study, both of these were sponsored by companies that had a real interest in getting newspapers and people talking about their products. So the five-second rule comes from a company called Valeda. Maybe I shouldn't say that on the air and give them the benefit. And the Daily Mail was obliging in saying this study by, you know, this woman who turned out to be a lab tech at Manchester Metropolitan was sponsored by this cleaning company. And a representative of this cleaning company points out that you should change your mop head once a month.
Was there any evidence that these bogus junk science stories, such as the one that was planted by the mop company about the five-second rule, was actually corrupt, that it was an ad camouflaged as news?
I don't know of any evidence that they pay the newspapers, although it is transactional. I mean, the Daily Mail gets a story that people want to read, and it's entertaining. I mean, British journalists will tell you this is just entertainment. Even the journalists themselves know it's fake. And, you know, they're just having a laugh. Don't worry about it. Don't be so serious. That's the problem with American journalists. They're always so serious about journalism.
Is it possible, Daniel, that the reason there's a different standard in the UK for what constitutes sufficient science for a science story is that the author and the reader both understand that this isn't journalism at all, but it's just entertainment?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, that sounds absolutely right. And then you get to that second question of, okay, well, now what happens when these entertainment stories, these pseudoscience stories, start, you know, drifting across the Atlantic? And what do people think in the American news culture when they read them?
Daniel, thank you so much.
Thank you, Bob.
Daniel Engber is a columnist for Slate.
WNYC Studios is supported by Dana-Farber Cancer Institute. If you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at DanaFarber.org/everywhere.